Nonetheless, God has dealt each of us a card and said, here you go. Head out into this thing called the world and live life and try to live it to the full. You know, as a lieutenant on the Linden Fire Department, I continually move from four different firehouses and move among five different crews of firefighters. Now, I especially enjoy getting dispatched to number two firehouse on DeWitt Terrace. It is a single-engine fire company with a very small crew. Oftentimes, it's just myself and two other firefighters, Manny and Mitch. These guys are always happy to see me, or they're very good actors, making me believe they're happy to see me. And we usually spend the whole day laughing and having a good time, besides doing all the work we have to do. Now, if you visited number two firehouse when my shift is working, you would see the tables strewn with newspapers, all open to the political articles. You see, these two fellows, Manny and Mitch, they love politics. One of them is a Republican, and the other one is a Democrat. And even more importantly, they both love arguing politics. I, on the other hand, do not like talking politics at all. But I have to admit, I do like listening to these two talk politics. I find that both these men make very smart, well-informed arguments and observations, and that they are truly passionate, that they believe what they are purveying. Plus, it really doesn't take very long for the subtle insults to begin, which are brilliantly amusing, I find out. Well, after one of their more heated exchanges, Manny storms out and leaves me and Mitch sitting alone in our kitchen having coffee together. So I said to Mitch, I said, you know, Mitch, this is Manny, he's no dummy. He really isn't. He knows his stuff, and he's quite intelligent. And Mitch quickly replied, oh, yeah, he's a smart guy. He just makes really bad decisions. Now, when Mitch said that statement, it was like a banner that floated out of his mouth and rested in the air above the chair that Manny had just stormed out of. He's a smart guy. He just makes really bad decisions. Living with people at the firehouse for 24 hours at a time, you get to know people's life stories pretty well. I learned that Manny is a very talented actor. He's even filmed TV commercials. He's a tremendous cook, which I appreciate. He's a gifted athlete and an aspiring entrepreneur. He's funny, and he is extremely personable. Yet with all that ability, Manny's conversations usually consist of all the missteps and all the regrets that he has. He has shown me he has an incredible vertical leap. You just say the word at our high kitchen counter, he can jump right to the top of it. No step. Jumps right to the top of the kitchen counter. We do that when the chief's not around. But it's cool. He's got this incredible vertical leap, but never found any place to use it. He ran a 4.4 40 in college, which I'm finding out is a tremendously fast 40-second sprint. But he didn't play any sports and didn't get connected with the right coaches and eventually dropped out of college. He got married very young when his girlfriend got pregnant. He is not very good at handling finances. He complains how he overpaid terribly for the house that he bought, which, by the way, is on a horrible corner for car accidents. Car accidents that happen all the time and usually hit his house. He is still, to this day, paying off a vet bill for his wife's dog that jumped out the car window as they were driving down the road. The list goes on and on every day with a new story and a new challenge for Manny. Yeah, he's a smart guy who makes really bad choices. Now, the topper, outside of all the facets of Manny, Manny is a professing, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Goes to church every single Sunday. And that, gang, that story that I just told you is what has me thinking about what we are going to study over the next several weeks. I'm titling the study, The Walk of Life. And my prayer for this study is that no one in this room, no West Virginian, will ever have their life summed up as, they're smart, but they make bad decisions. That is the thesis. That is the goal. You see, I meet more and more people who are like Manny. They are not experiencing a walk of life. Instead, these people I meet are enduring a life of turmoil and a life of angst. And I keep coming back to Proverbs 14:12. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, what this verse is saying is that we are constantly going to be standing at forks in the road. And we are going to have to choose at these forks in the road. And this verse tells us that in our heads and in our hearts, we are going to sense a way that feels right. A direction that is wooing us. A siren song that has a powerful pull down a certain road. But that way, that choice at the fork in the road, that decision does not take us on the walk of life. It instead leads us to death. Saying here, the death of our happiness, the death of our freedom, the death of our hopes, and the death of our dreams, the death of our possibilities. The death of our safety, the death of our peace and our comforted hearts. Instead of a walk of life, we're on a walk of fear, a walk of want, a walk of unrest, a walk of turmoil and unhealthiness, a walk of death, the Bible calls it. That's the walk Manny is on. And that's what I saw when my friend Mitch said, he's a smart guy, just makes really bad decisions. So, let's get to be people who that can't be said of. Instead, let's be the type of people who are on a walk of life where we can handle things that come at us, where whether it's a good day or a bad day, we know how to get through. That's where we're headed. So let's begin. First, you have to start by actually finding the road that is the walk of life. You got to find this. After all, we have to find the road that we're going to have to travel on. And there are lots of roads to choose from, gang. In John 5:24, Jesus informs us that there are many roads to choose from, but to find the walk of life, we must turn to the Bible. God's instruction manual for human beings. Here's what it says, John 5:24. I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Jesus is saying that the walk of life is found in him, in his words. In his teachings, you will find the walk of life. Jesus' words, God decided this. Jesus' words were written down for you and me. God intended it that way, and he has provided the map for the walk of life in this incredible book that we call the Bible. Lately, gang, I have found myself attributing mine and attributing people's problems and missteps to one phrase. Boiled it down to this. They're not doing what the Bible says. Now that sounds a bit small, I know. And it sounds a bit uninspiring. But when you think about it, it becomes larger than it first appears. For instance, I'm harboring guilt, and it's paralyzing me. Well, the Bible says to receive forgiveness of that from God, and that he casts it as far as the east is from the west. I'm financially drowning. Well, the Bible instructs us on how we should treat debt, how we should look at debt, and it also tells us that we should live inside our means. The Bible tells us that. Another one, I'm unwilling to work on my marriage. Well, the Bible says you should. I'm lazy. The Bible tells us not to be lazy. I know not all of life's problems are easy one-liner solution type problems. I understand it. And I know that we're only responsible for our side. I get that. But often what happens with the people I meet, and even myself sometimes, we discount and ignore the life-giving instruction in the Bible, and we head down the road that leads to death. Remember Jesus' words. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but he has crossed over from death to life. They have taken the right fork in the road. The Bible offers us complete instruction on how to walk through life and to live life successfully. When we experience breakdown in our life, we need to trace it backwards to its root, and more times than not, it's because at a fork in the road, we chose the non-biblical road. I know for me, I was thinking as the year turned, and I'm very happy with the life God has given me, but I've certainly made my share of mistakes. And I remember being asked a question one time. I'm not good with questions on the spot. I'd be a terrible interview. I don't know the answers when you ask. I have great ones a week later. Really, really good ones. Like, what's your favorite book? I don't know, The Green Eggs and Ham? No, Pilgrim's Progress. Took me a week to come up with that. All right. So I'm thinking about some of these things, and you know, one of my biggest regrets, one of the things I got wrong and didn't follow what the Bible said, I had a guy who was a great friend, tremendous friend, loved me to death, and I thought he was a great guy too. And you know, we were in a church at a time, and crazy things happened at the church, and we were thrown in the mix, and before you know it, everybody's nerves were on edge, and anything that got said, you took the wrong way, and in the end, I cut this guy out of my life. And he begged me to tell him, what's going on? What did I do? I'll ask for forgiveness, whatever I did. He came to the firehouse when I was working in the alarm room. I remember this. He says, you got to tell me, why do we not have a relationship? What's going on? And I was not doing what the Bible said. I didn't tell him the truth. I didn't work on it. And after a while, he went away, never to come back. And later, when I tried to heal it, there was no bringing it back to where it was. All because I didn't do what the Bible had said, which was, you know what, if someone has something against you, you go to them. When they ask you, you tell them the truth. You work things out. As far as it goes with you, be at peace with everyone. I didn't do any of those things. See, God has given us answers, but we don't do them. We find a reason to say, I don't need to. Now, keep that truth. Keep that truth in your back pocket for now, because it's going to come up again, maybe tonight or later in this series. We're going to come back to this. Okay, we found the road. We know the road is in the Bible. Jesus is going to be the road, on the way to the road. We're standing at the entrance to the road of the walk of life. We're standing there. The next step is actually entering the road. You've got to get on the road. Jesus makes this abundantly clear also when he says that believing in him is the gate to life. Here's what it says in John 6:47. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, he who believes in me has eternal life. We all know John 3:16 at the football games. You see it. Tell us. Here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So, here we go. The key for entering the gate to the walk of life, the key to entering it, is believing in Jesus Christ. That's where I want to stop. Believing in Jesus Christ. Gang, let's do some explanation on this, because this can be confusing. This word believe is a word that has several connotations to it, and we got to make sure we're doing what the Bible and what Jesus is asking us to do when it comes to believing in him. We have to understand what believing in Jesus is. So we have several ideas. There are several ideas on what believing in Jesus Christ is. So we'll pose them as questions and see if they work out. All right? The first, believing in Jesus Christ is knowing Christ is God's Son and Savior. Underline knowing. Is that it? Okay, we're looking for it. This is a common idea of what believing is. It's when we know something, I guess we believe it, right? I know that Paul Revere warned the colonies of a British invasion. I know that, so I guess that's believing it, right? I know if you put the right ingredients into a bowl with a cake mix, you get a delicious cake. I know that. I guess that believing it? Maybe this knowing of information, maybe that's all we need. Well, maybe just having someone let us in on a piece of information is all believing really is. Well, according to the Bible, knowing that Christ is God's Son and Savior is not believing. That's not what it's talking about. It says this in James 2:19. You believe there is one God? Good. But the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. We all know demons are not getting eternal life in heaven with God, and certainly not walking the walk of life. So just knowing who Jesus is alone, just knowing who he is alone, that in itself is not the definition of believing. Just knowing information ain't it. All right, let's try another one. Maybe it'll be number two. Maybe number two will get us through the gate and onto this walk of life. Believing is professing with your mouth and saying to others that Jesus is God's Son and Savior. Now, this sounds really good, but the Bible says that talk is cheap. And it doesn't always mean we really believe something. Look at Matthew 15:8. It says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's like this. I absolutely know for a fact that if I went to the Royal Gorge in Colorado, I can bungee jump 321 meters. This bungee jump will allow me to free fall over 1,000 feet. Head first towards a rocky riverbed. And then, this amazingly strong and has never failed elastic band will bounce me right back up in perfect safety. I am professing and I am telling you with my own lips that that's a fact. Now, if we take a road trip, Westbridge road trip, if we go to the Royal Gorge in Colorado, and you ask me to make that bungee jump, you got a snowball's chance in Death Valley. In August. Of me even getting on that bridge. I know it's safe, and I'm professing it. I'm telling you with my own lips, that's the truth. But guess what? I don't believe that I would be safe doing that. I believe that's when that thing would snap. Jesus said, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Gang, saying something alone is not what the Bible is talking about when it says that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So, okay, saying that Christ is the Savior is really not believing it, okay? Well, you can put an X through that as well on your outline. Maybe it's number three. Let's go for number three. Believing is doing what Christ the Savior said. That's a good question. Now, this sounds promising, doesn't it? I like doers. I'm big on doers. I don't like talkers. I like doers. Perhaps all that is involved in believing in Jesus is doing the things he asks us to do. Maybe that's it. How about this? I will do some things. I will go to church. Is that believing? I will give 10% of my income to God. That's doing something. I will attempt to live wholesomely. I will be kind to everyone, and I will honor my mother and father, etc., etc., etc. What does the Bible say about this number three? Just simply doing, is that all that is involved in believing in Jesus? Will that get me through the gate to the walk of life? Is this how I can find the success God wants me to have in life? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us to do long ago. Man, we're not doing so good here. This is getting tough simply trying to explain what believing in Jesus is. It's gotten pretty tricky. Here I have all these really great tries, standing individually, standing on their own. Believing is knowing that Christ is the Savior. Nope, found that didn't work. Believing is saying that Christ is the Savior. Uh-uh, that didn't work either. Not what the Bible said. Believing is doing what the Savior says. Close, but no cigar. See, each of these alone looked pretty good. But perhaps this believing in Jesus is bigger than just this one simple idea. Perhaps it's more well-rounded and more inclusive, a larger action than just these three individually alone. Perhaps it has more to do with all three of them together. Let me try to show you something here. Can we kill that, Laura? So I don't have to walk through it. Oh, good, thank you. Let me try to see if this helps. We talked about knowing that Christ is Lord. We talked about professing, saying that Christ is Lord. We talked about doing. So I need a volunteer, and I pick you. Come over here, and yeah. We're going to find out if this little boy believes. All right? We're going to find out if he believes. Now, would you be so kind as to take a couple steps up the ladder? We're going to find out. Do not step on the step on that one. That's good. Well, that's good. Now, we're going to find out if he believes, right? Caleb, would you come down and help me? All right. It's nice. It's nice. Now, feeling strong? You believe?
Sure.
Atta boy, that's what I want to hear. Okay. Now, what's going to happen is you are going to have Cody is going to just lay back and just fall. All right? Because we're going to see if he believes that you, see, he knows it's going to be you, okay? You know it's him? You know it's him?
I got you.
He's saying, see, he's saying it's you. And now the doing, you're going to have to just kind of lay back, and Caleb is going to catch you. All right? Now, I want you to stand right like this, okay? With your arms out. It ain't going to be that heavy. He ain't that heavy. Okay? And matter of fact, I want you to close your eyes. Let me spin you around a little bit. You look that way. You look that way. That's good. That's good. And now, you look that way. You don't get to see God all the time. You know what I mean? All right? All right. Now, Cody, here we go. Do you believe he's going to catch you?
No, I do not.
What? Thank you, Caleb. Thank you. You may take your seat. You did a good job. He didn't believe it. Now, that's pretty clear he didn't believe, right, Miss Sarah?
Yes.
All right. You know, you got to know. We said knowing that Jesus Christ, knowing is not everything. It's not that's not believing, but it's part of it. It's going to be me. You know it's me, okay? And do you know it's me?
I do.
You're professing. See, you're professing his man. He knows who he's believing in. And now the last thing is the doing. You got to take that leap of faith. Take the step of faith. And if you believe all three pieces, then you believe. Right? So, come down one step. What are you doing? It says don't stand on that high. All right? So, go ahead. Knock it out. When you're ready to believe, put it in action and fall backwards. That's my boy. All right. Mr. Mike, you're next. All right. You did good, man. Believing in Jesus Christ is this. Let me give you a definition that will hopefully give you the answers for tonight. Believing in Christ is trusting. Trusting in the fact that Jesus is the Savior of your soul and welcoming him in to be the ruler and the navigator of your life. That's believing in Jesus. You must know who he is. The Bible says, profess with your mouth. We will read it in a second. And then there is this action we do of embracing him, accepting him, giving him your life. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Westbridge. This is the single biggest event that happens in your life. It is even bigger than your birth, because this rebirth not only gives you life to the full here on earth, it now gives you eternity with Jesus Christ. We must know who we are believing in. We must know. If you just know, if all you do is know Jesus is the Son of God, that ain't it, the Bible said. You must also state your belief. You must have that moment. The Bible says, confess with your mouth. That's what we do at baptism, don't we? Make sure that people get the opportunity to tell the world around them that they're following Jesus Christ. And you have to have that moment where you do take that step of faith with God. Embrace him. I'm going to ask the band to come back, finish with one more opportunity to talk to God. Before, gang, before we embark on this walk of life, which we are going to do, and we've got a lot we've got to talk about on this walk of life, to live and make the decisions that will bring us success. Not the things we talked about that Manny was going through. We have a lot to talk about. But before we get there, we have to be sure that we are right with God, that we are entering the road. If you've never done this before, do it tonight. If you're not sure if you've done this before, do it tonight. Take the opportunity to talk to Jesus and say, I know who you are. I know you're the Son of God, and I know you died on a cross to take away my sins and make me right with God. I know that information. And the next thing, I'm telling you I know it. I'm not afraid to speak it. And one day there'll be an opportunity in July for you to say it to the world in a pool and be baptized. And the third thing, take the step. You can't leave it as undone. If you don't take the step, then the answer is no. But if you take the step of faith, say, Jesus Christ, I want to enter this walk of life. Show me how to live life fully, completely, successfully through the power of your Spirit. Show me. I'll take that step right now and grab Jesus' hand. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray for those in the room who aren't quite sure they've done this before, who want to make sure they've got it right, and those who have heard it for the first time and want to say yes. I pray that they do it now. If you want to do this, gang, I can help you out with it. You can repeat a prayer in your heart to God. It says, Lord, I know who you are. Jesus is the Son of God. You died for my sins, and I'm professing with my mouth, I want this. Let this step of faith be the moment you put your Spirit in my heart and guide me as we walk forward on the walk of life. Amen.